Hey, welcome back to the Puma Podcast. I'm Puma.
And I'm Tori.
We are so glad that you're joining us today on the Puma Podcast. We talk about Jesus, life, and everything in between.
Yes, sir.
And if you're joining us today for the first time, hopefully that is a lot of you. That'd be awesome. We are talking about integrity. Last week, we started a new series on integrity. And integrity is doing the God-honoring thing regardless of the cost.
Yes.
Or what the consequences might be, or the fallout is doing what God desires us to do. Mm-hmm. It is living right, upright, blameless, having a holistic righteousness to your life that guides you.
Yeah.
So, well,
and it's regardless of the cost. And that's important because integrity, or even a lack of integrity, has a cost. And so, yeah, to understand that there's real consequences to our integrity or lack thereof. And for the Christian, you know, yeah, to be someone of integrity is so important because it involves and it evokes a response that we honor God, period, even with the cost, good or bad.
You know, I was thinking about that word cost after our last podcast. And, you know, in our world today, you know, we want everything without cost. We want everything to be free.
Yeah.
We want everything to be, I don't want to have to pay a cost for anything. In fact, I almost this entitlement mentality that's going around where, you know, I should have what I have. So even when it comes to integrity, I'm entitled to things whether I'm blameless or not.
Yeah.
whether I'm right or not, I should just have people like me. I get offended when people are irritated with my bad attitude. You know, why is that? You know, it's because I want things to be free.
Right.
We don't realize that life has consequences, and those consequences, it comes with a cost.
Yeah.
And cost isn't bad. I mean, last week I went to a Cubs game, right? I gave up sleep. You know, I paid a price to go into Chicago to see the Cubs beat the Dodgers 8-1, which is awesome. And I'm willing to pay that again. I mean, the things that are important to us, we're willing to pay a price.
That's a good word, important. What do we see value in?
We see value in, and this is why God values upright, blamelessness, a righteous heart, because a righteous heart is a heart that is in tune with the heart of God.
Yeah.
And that's ultimately what he wants. He wants us to be in right relationship with him. And so do we really value that? And so this is why, again, I think integrity really, really matters, because what is it that we ultimately value? Do we value being right with the God who knows us and loves us?
Yeah, well, in our culture today, especially, you know, here we are, you know, April 2024, and the cost, the literal cost of things is up. But like you said, the cost is almost like a bad word. Like, oh, it's going to cost? Well, I don't want that. Oh, I have to pay for this event? Well, you know, it should be free. But then the cost, not just of like finances or time or energy, but what about the cost doing the right thing when there's actual aggression? Oh, no longer is this neutral. You're being attacked. You're being tempted. All of a sudden, the cost isn't so much out there. It's personal. What does integrity look like when temptation is staring us down, when we feel a burden and it's not just, again, it's not neutral. It actually affects us, affects our family, and there's a real emotion behind the temptation. It's one thing to be someone of integrity. Oh, you know, let me choose to go here. Let me choose to do this event. But it's a different form of integrity, I think, when you have to do the God-honoring thing and your soul is torn. There's real temptation. What does integrity look like when it comes to our temptation?
Yeah. Well, why don't we talk about that, Tori?
we'll talk about that?
Yeah. Should we talk about that?
Yeah. You know, let's do that, Puma. Let's talk about what integrity looks like when it comes to being tempted. It's no longer out there. The temptation and our integrity is super personal and emotions are high. All right, Puma. So, temptation. It's a real thing.
It is a real thing.
It's a real thing. And I almost want to say when we are tempted, especially spiritually, the stakes are much higher. I mean, it's one thing, okay, do I go to this party or do I talk to my neighbor? But the temptation, okay, am I going to compromise here? All of a sudden, my integrity is private. Maybe it's personal. And there is real, there's an emotional side. It's not so much logical. It's more emotional. I know what's right, but now I'm emotionally torn because I desire this, or if I don't do this, it affects my family. If I don't compromise on my taxes here, our family can't go on vacation, right? Temptations makes the cost much higher.
Yeah, and you talk about desires. I mean, James 1 talks about that. You know, and what is temptation? It is something that I want, and I'm going to try to get it or acquire it or have it. Mm. But not every means of acquiring or getting or having is a legitimate or right means.
Right, yeah, it's not always right? up
to that. I, you know, I go into a store and I see something that I really want. Mm. Well, there are different ways I can get it, right?
That's true, yeah.
I mean, the store could give it to me. Mm-hmm. I mean, they could, you know, say, hey, yeah. give it to me. I mean, I had that last week too when I went to Chicago. So we stopped at the Oasis there, mm-hmm. you know, the plaza. And I was thirsty, wanted something to drink. And so I'm just kind of looking around. And so it was Sobraro, those, the pizza place. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And all the, you know, all the pop and all the places were all shut down. And so I was really, you know, thirsty. I wanted something, you know, to drink. And so mm-hmm. I go over to the guy and I'm looking at all the prices and the pizza. And then I said, so how much is just, you know, a cup for pop? Mm-hmm. And he just kind of looks at me like, what? I said, how much is for a cup of pop? Well, he gets the cup and he gets the lid and he gets a straw and he's going to give them to me. And I said, no, I just want to know how much it costs. He goes, no, you can just have the cup. Go ahead and help yourself. It's free.
Nice.
Yeah. I'm like, free. I'm like, dude, you're my favorite new person.
Yeah.
So, I mean, there's one way I could get that, right?
Yeah. It could be a gift.
It could be a gift. Another way I could get out my wallet and give them cash or
you could pay for it.
Cause I'm a cash guy. Give them cash. I could pay for it. Or another way I could do is, you know, take my cup from the car and come in and around the corner, fill it up, you know, from the fountain pop without him looking and steal it.
Right.
I desire something to drink. There are different means to get it. Mm-hmm. Integrity means I get it in a way that honors God, not in a way that dishonors God.
Right, right. Or honors something other than God.
Yeah, and so temptation. Yeah. We're tempted all the time. I mean, it could be anything. You know, tempted to have a good reputation. Tempted, mm-hmm. I mean, so we think we take shortcuts there.
Yeah, right.
You know, it could be anything. You know, and I think our audience, we all understand, you know, what temptation is. We're tempted all the time. Yeah. You know, to have people approve of us, people to show favor to us, to have certain things. You know, talk about the lust of the eyes, you know, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, you know, 1 John 2 tells us, you know, those three things. Yeah. Those areas that we're tempted to fulfill my fleshly desires, my heart desires, or, you know, my pride.
Yeah. Yeah, there's many ways for us to be, like you said, to be tempted to honestly, I like the word honor, because we can honor God or honor ourselves. Or we could preach integrity and honor someone else, right? I'm going to steal for someone else. You know, I think sometimes we think integrity is selflessness. Well, it's all about me, but if I do it for someone else, that's integrity. But that's not true. We can lie and cheat for other people. And even though we care about them, that's not integrity because that does not honor God. So yeah, like when we're tempted, who are we honoring, right? And then do we want to honor God regardless of what it might cost us or affect, you know, affect on us? And so, you know, we're looking at scripture, right? I mean, let's hone in on, I would say, one of the best stories when it comes to temptation and how to fight it. But yeah, you want to open us there, Puma, in Matthew?
Yeah, so obviously when we think of temptation, the temptation of Jesus, you know, in the Gospels. So I have Matthew open here, and, you know, it's in several of the Gospels, you know, the temptation of Jesus. But when we think of temptation, you know, what was so hard for Jesus? I mean, to live a life of integrity. I mean, obviously, if we're going to talk about integrity, we could bring Jesus up every podcast.
Yes, 100%.
And we should. I mean, everything he did to please God. Yeah, I love how he says throughout the Gospels, he says, I only do what the Father tells me to do. I only do what pleases him. And in the Gospel of John, he says this over and over again. I'm just doing what the Father wants me to do.
Yeah, I'm here to do the will of the Father.
Yeah. You know, you read in Isaiah 53, talking about the prophecy of Jesus and the suffering servant. And it says it was the Father's will to crush him. Mm-hmm. You know, Jesus says that no one takes my life, I give it freely.
Right.
I mean, that's a life of integrity.
Yeah.
Because he knew what the cost was going to be.
Yeah, right. Talk about costs and consequences.
Talk about the cost and consequence. Mm-hmm. So you have Jesus at his temptation. Right before that, he goes to the Jordan River where John the Baptist is being baptized. Mm-hmm. And just that whole scene there and the, you know, the heavens open up and the Holy Spirit descends like a dove. And then God the Father speaks and, you know, people hear this and God the Father says, this is my Son whom I love, with him I am well pleased.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have enough time to get into it now, but each of those statements are, God the Father's quoting passages from the Old Testament, statements from the Old Testament, highlighting the reality of the Messiah is going to be the Son whom I love, with him I'm well pleased.
Yeah, God is affirming Jesus's position.
He's confirming his position. He's confirming him as the Son of God, which is interesting then, because the very next thing that happens, so Matthew 4:1 says, then Jesus was led by the Spirit, or the Holy Spirit, into the desert. So Jesus is submitting to the Holy Spirit's leading him into the desert or the Judean wilderness to be tempted.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
I mean, think about the life of integrity to, I mean, if I knew that I was going to have to spend 40 days, that's going to be incredibly hard over the next 40 days.
Yeah.
Would I be tempted to take a shortcut?
Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Right.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is the scene that we have, and he's in there for 40 days. We don't have much of what happened. A lot happened in that 40 days. We don't have, we just have sort of the end, the last few ways that Satan tempted him after 40 days.
Yeah.
So when you think of that scene, and we can look at some of the details, Tori, what is it that strikes you about Jesus being a man of integrity when it comes to his temptation?
Yeah. Well, I think that you made a great point. Right before that, God the Father just confirmed and identified his Son as the Son of God. So if I were in Jesus' shoes, and I just, a voice from heaven, the Spirit like a dove came down, and I just got, confirmed, if you will, in the eyes of everybody, I'm God's Son. Why should I go be tempted and struggle for 40 days plus? I mean, I'm the Son of God. The first temptation, like you said, is to just flee, right? You know, I don't have to fight this. I'm God's Son, so why should I even struggle? Because I'm perfect. I'm in God's image, and by the way, I am God. So I am God's Son. I am holy. So, the first temptation, why would Jesus even submit himself to that temptation?
Well, and that's and that is really the nature of the temptations. We think, how is Jesus being tempted? How can Jesus be tempted? Well, what's interesting is, Matthew says right away, verse 3 of chapter 4, he says, the tempter came to him and said, if you are what?
If you are the
Son of God. God the Father had just said you're the Son of God. So Satan's like, really? Are you really the Son of God? Is that really true? If it is, then be the Son of God. Then do it.
He's throwing seeds.
If you really are the Son of God, then tell these stones to become bread. Hey, dude, you're hungry? And you're the Son of God? then just do Son of God stuff.
Right. Well, not just hungry. You're like starving.
Yeah,
I mean, for 40 days. Yeah. I get hungry in the afternoon. Jesus was starving. Why should the Son of God starve? I mean, the irony there. It's like...
Right. I mean, so if you're really the Son of God... then prove it. If you're really the Son of God, then live like it. Unless you're not really the Son of God.
Right.
You can't turn these stones to bread? Are you really the Son? I mean, can you imagine? I mean, just the, like Satan just kind of needling him and digging in there on this key point. Because if Jesus is the Son of God, he has a role to fulfill to redeem mankind.
Yeah.
And that is who he is. And Satan is just needling him on that. And Jesus to compromise in one little... Now, in the grand scheme of things, is it possible for stones to be turned to bread, or for Jesus to ask the Father, can you turn these stones into bread?
Do a miracle? Sure.
Yeah. Can you do that? Would it have been wrong just to do that? If Satan hadn't tempted him or done that, would have been wrong to do. I mean, I'm just saying that the act itself isn't necessarily wrong, but why do it?
Yeah.
To prove to Satan that you are the Son of God would be dishonoring to the Father. In other words, he was submitting to the Holy Spirit, let him in, and what the Father wanted him to do.
Right. And it's interesting too. It's one thing to stand up against temptation when you're rested, when you've slept well, when you're not starving. But I mean, I think it's hard for me to understand to be, again, it says not eating or drinking, right? So, I mean, Jesus is completely vulnerable. It's hard to be someone of integrity when you're feeling well, but when you're feeling absolutely devastated, to still stand true to God's word, to still do the God-honoring thing, man, that it's hard for me to put myself physically or emotionally in Jesus' shoes. But you're right, to not just be you know, physically burdened and hungry and starving, but then spiritually attacked on top of that.
Right. And how does Jesus respond to that? He says, it is written, man does not live on bread alone. So he's not saying bread's bad. Mm-hmm. Man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God.
Mm.
In other words, Jesus was more interested in feasting on God's word than feasting on bread.
Yeah. That's amazing.
And if God said, this is what you need to do, then that's what Jesus wanted to feast on.
Mm.
And Jesus said this in John chapter 4, the account of the woman at the well. The disciples come back mm-hmm. after the woman leaves, and they bring food back, and they say, Jesus, are you hungry? And he says, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work.
Yeah.
In other words, the food that was most important to Jesus was submitting to the will and the plan and the words of God.
Yeah, to stay true and faithful to God's word is incredible. I mean, that was the heart desire of Jesus. That's integrity, right? I'm going to honor God, and I'm going to stay hungry for the word rather than my own comfort. You know, Dr. Holmes told me all the time in all the classes that he taught, you know, as a Christian, we need to pursue his kingdom over our comfort. That's the temptation for all mm-hmm. Christians, to live in a way that satisfies our comfort rather than being obedient to the call of the kingdom we've yeah. been placed in.
Well, it's like everything. Is comfort bad?
No.
In itself, it's not. But the means of securing comfort matters.
Yeah.
And this is why when we talk about integrity, a life of integrity, how we fulfill our wants and our desires matters. See, it's not just the end goal, but also the means.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this idea that the end justifies the means, that seems to be sort of the MO of our day, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
That as long as my end result is what I want, how I get there doesn't matter. I don't have to have integrity. I don't have to do what is right because I get the results that I want.
Mm-hmm.
But for Jesus, the process was just as important as the end goal.
Yeah.
You got to have both, not one over the other.
Yep.
And so how did Jesus thwart temptation? How did he do the will of the Father?
Right. He quoted Deuteronomy.
Quoted Deuteronomy.
Yeah.
If integrity is doing what God desires or doing his will, you know, listening to him, regardless of the cost, do we know God?
Yeah.
Do we know what he said?
Right. Yeah. Do we know God's word? And not only do we know, but do we love it, right? Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word, right?
Right.
I mean, the love like Jesus had for the heart of God, because he knew his heart. And how do you know God's heart? Through his word. People of integrity love and feast on the word of God, because that's where they get to know the heart of God.
Right. Yeah. Doing the God-honoring thing means we understand what is a God-honoring thing.
Yeah.
And you can't know what's a God-honoring thing unless you listen to God.
Mm-hmm.
And the way we do that is by, you know, immersing ourselves in his word.
Mm-hmm.
And this is, again, why Jesus was such a man of integrity. I mean, he is the word made flesh.
Mm-hmm.
And yet, you know, where did we find him at the age of 12? Luke tells us that he's
right, in the
temple, learning.
Yeah.
Right? He's in the temple learning. Mm-hmm. He was a man of integrity. He lived a life of integrity even as a teenager. He wanted to know the word of God. Mm-hmm. It wasn't something that was just kind of automatically downloaded into his brain. That he actually immersed himself in the words of God.
He was a student.
He was a student, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. I mean, if Jesus is the one to whom we are to model our life after, even this character trait of integrity that Jesus himself did not think it, he didn't see himself above the word of God.
Right, yeah.
He immersed himself in it.
Yeah, I love that the Son of God, literally God himself, had to learn. I mean, that's, talk about humility. And I think there's a connection too. To be someone of integrity is someone that is hungry and a student to know the heart and character of God. If Jesus himself had to, Jesus, sinless, holy Jesus, had to become a student, and not just had to, he wanted to know the heart of God. I mean, how do you fight temptation? You go back to truth. You go back to the word. You go back to the heart of God, the character of God. You know, and even here in the other temptations too, here in Matthew, I mean, we see that Satan tries a couple more times, right? And again, each time he goes back to the identity, he questions, did God really say, if you are really this, then do this? The
if challenge. If you really are the Son of God, then throw yourself down and he'll catch you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because you're the Son of God.
Right.
He won't let you hurt yourself.
Right. Satan uses scripture, right? I mean, again, the irony there too, that that Satan, you know, God's adversary, takes the most precious thing to Jesus, right? The word of God. He takes that very thing and twists it. He twists Jesus's heart and desire for truth. And again, someone of integrity knows God's word so well, loves God's word so much, they're able to identify the lie. Mm-hmm. You know, again, integrity and truth are best friends.
Right.
People of integrity can recognize falsehood right. because they know truth.
Well, you love God's word because you love God.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not loving. I think sometimes people get the idea, well, I'm just in the Bible so I can do all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
No, I read the Bible so I can get to know the heart of God.
Yeah.
Because I want to please him.
Right.
Because he is what is most important. We're always doing things for a reason. We're always seeking some end or some goal, some, you know, ultimate with our life, whether that's personal happiness, mm-hmm. contentment, or whatever.
Yeah.
Someone that loves Jesus, someone that loves God, integrity is of utmost importance because it speaks to my relationship with my God,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that is of the greatest value. And so that should be something that, you know, as Proverbs says, the verse, you know, the upright are guided,
yeah,
you know, mm-hmm. by their righteousness, but the foolish person by their crooked or perverseness.
Right? Yeah. Yeah. The integrity upright guides them.
Yeah.
And Jesus was definitely guided by his integrity, not his comfort, not his personal desires, but his, if I can say, his holy passion for the heart of his Father.
Yeah.
That's what guided him. He was willing to do the God-honoring thing regardless of starving for 40 days. I mean, that's amazing. And I love that people of integrity, Jesus is literally the perfect example of how to overcome temptation. You know, people of integrity, you can't overcome temptation no matter the cost. You can do it. Why? Because we have the word of God. We have the Father. And if we love him, if we're really devoted to him, to obeying him, to honoring him, regardless of the cost, we can overcome temptation. And Jesus did that with scripture. Because like you said, Puma, we cannot obey the heart of God if we don't know the heart of God.
Yeah.
And so I guess that brings the AQ, the application question, Puma. What's a good application question for us in light of this temptation and our pursuit of the heart of God?
We're always, like we said, we're always doing things, you know? Mm-hmm. So why am I doing it? Or what am I doing? What do I ultimately want? Mm-hmm. And so if I were to ask people today, you know, what do you really want today? Do you want to honor God with your life today, or do you want to be comfortable?
Hmm.
Do you want to honor God with your life today, or do you want to have a better reputation with people?
Mm-hmm.
Because we're always trying to please somebody.
Right.
We're always trying to get someone's ear, someone's attention.
Mm-hmm.
And we tend to take shortcuts. A life that lacks integrity tends to discount what God thinks for the opinions of other people.
Yeah.
You know, so again, so whose favor do you desire most today?
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's good. And I mean, again, going back to this Matthew, you know, 4, Jesus was led by the Spirit.
Right.
You know, and I think that that's a key point to even this whole concept. Are we Spirit led or am I Tory led? Are you Puma led? What really leads us? And you know, who do we desire the most, and who or what? Something I pray with my wife every night is, you know, God, give us wisdom on who and what to love, because there's lots of people, lots of things that can steal our heart and passion away. And for Jesus, his passion was obeying his Father. His passion was honoring and serving and living a life of integrity, because that was the God honoring thing. He lived for that, and it was hard, but he counted the cost worth it. You know, and we know a few weeks ago we celebrated Easter. What a beautiful example of integrity to count the cost, to think mankind was worth it, to die. I mean, that's incredible. And so it's a great application question. You know, who are we pursuing? You know, are we pursuing comfort or the kingdom of God? Well, guys, thank you again so much for joining us. I just always feel so blessed that we are able to do this. And I know Puma is in agreement with us that we just so appreciate this platform. And our hope and prayer for ourselves and for you is that we would do the God-honoring thing regardless of the cost. And when we are tempted, one, we have a great example of Jesus Christ himself. How do you overcome temptation? He loved the heart of God because he knew the heart of God. And I pray that we would be on this journey together. We would pursue Jesus together, because integrity, well, it's worth it. Honoring God is worth it, no matter what the cost. If you have any questions, as always, you can feel free to reach out to us at thepumapodcast@gmail.com. And yeah, we'll see you next week, Fridays at 10:10.
Yep. Bye-bye.
Bye.